A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. Conrad II and the Constitution of the Fiefs. Now, accompanying Conrad on the Burgundian excursion was Heribert, the Archbishop of Milan, who he had become friends with. It's ironic that upon their return to Italy, they would soon become enemies, for when they arrived, yet another revolt had occurred. This one, however, was not an attempt to oust Conrad, but to claim land rights. In Italy, the church and the feudal system had developed in such a way that the land left behind by certain vassals was not bequeathed to their heirs, but to the church. A class of citizens known as vavassors had increasingly seen the lands of their fathers taken away from them and found themselves being reduced to little more than slaves who worked the land for the church. When Conrad and Heribert had been away in Burgundy, the vavassors had created an upheaval demanding certain property rights. When Conrad arrived, he surveyed the situation and proved to be a just emperor. He sided with the vavassors and lent his support to their cause. This sense of justice displays Conrad's character, but it would also alienate his old colleague, Heribert. Conrad ordered the restoration of the disputed lands, and Heribert was forced, for the time being, to accept his decision. The lands in question were returned to the vavassors, and it would not be long before Heribert himself was in rebellion. Having convinced himself that all was well in Italy, Conrad set out to subdue the pagan Lutetians in East Germany. This is the same tribe which Henry II had unwisely made a treaty with many years before. Since that time, Christian missionaries were barred from their lands, and the pagans continued to be a threat to both Christian citizens and missionaries. Conrad resolved to make the land free for Christians, and by 1035, the Lutetians were defeated, allowing missionaries to enter the territories freely again. In just over a decade, Conrad had successfully become the King of Italy, Germany, Burgundy, and Emperor. He further had forced Poland to declare fealty to the Empire and had crushed one of the last remaining pagan threats to Europe. What he could not do was crush the proud and arrogant spirit of the medieval clergy. News arrived that Heribert had rebelled in Milan and was refusing to enforce Conrad's will in regard to the vavassors. Heribert declared that he was the equal to the emperor and did not therefore need to obey his wishes. When Conrad II returned to Italy, Heribert was arrested and the lands again restored. Nonetheless, friends of Heribert helped him to escape, set out to gain support for a revolt against Conrad. This time, Conrad used wise diplomacy and skill to drive Heribert into hiding, where he lost communication with his supporters. Soon, he was able to separate Heribert entirely from his base support. After Heribert was no longer a threat, Conrad had him deposed, and in 1037 called upon the most recent pope, Benedict IX, to ratify the disposition. Initially, Benedict hoped to reach a compromise, but Conrad was unwielding. Unable to safely get in contact with his supporters, Heribert was effectively left in exile, and his supporters quietly died out. The rebellion had come to naught without a fight. The following year, Conrad created a constitution of fiefs, which guaranteed that land could not be taken away from vavassors without a trial by peers, and thus secured land rights for commoners. The next year, Benedict IX gave an agreeing to ratify the disposition of Heribert. The pendulum had swung, and the emperor for now was greater than the pope. Conrad's final years were relatively peaceful. Like many people in the day, Conrad died before his time. While on an expedition to southern Italy, he had contracted a fever from an epidemic there. He returned to Germany, where he lingered for a short time before dying in 1039, leaving behind his son and heir, Henry III. Like the Ottonians before him, Conrad II showed great promise. But little is said of him in most history books, for his greatest achievement, the Constitution of Fiefs, would soon be ignored and all but forgotten. Not until the Magna Carta, nearly 100 years later, would the concept reappear. Nonetheless, Conrad II deserves respect as one of the last truly good emperors before the decline of imperial dignity. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.